Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
It was announced a couple of days ago, Finance Minister Lawrence Wong will deliver his first ministerial statement in Parliament on Monday. And the statement will be the government's support measures for businesses and workers affected by tightened COVID-19 restrictions, something we've all been going through, right? This comes ahead of the supplementary supply bill to affect the reallocation of funds for the measures early announced on May 28th, June 10th and June 18th in view of phases 2 and 3 heightened alert. Funding approaches on these measures will also be touched on. So what can we expect from Minister Lawrence Wong's first statement in his finance minister role? On the line with me this morning is Jeff Ng, Senior Treasury Strategist at HL Bank. Jeff, good morning. How are you?
Hi, good morning, Elliot. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. It's been a while. Glad we can catch up. And of course, you know, it's all about that ministerial statement from Finance Minister Lawrence Wong that's going to happen on Monday, the 5th of July. So we understand it's all about support measures for businesses and workers, all this because of the various tightened COVID-19 restrictions. Are we looking at a big deal in terms of package size this time around, or perhaps something in more phases or a phased approach in that sense?
Well, I think I see it as an update to the financial year 2021 budget that was announced in February, where I think a lot of the measures were focused on the medium term, where there were business initiatives to focus on the post-COVID-19 world. But I think since then, of course, we've had the phase 2 and phase 3 heightened alert. And I think what we've observed in the economy as well is that the economy continues to register a K-shaped recovery, with some sectors still lagging behind. So, of course, the worst affected sector like food and beverage, and also I think that the travel sector, I think may continue to need a little bit of support. So that's where I think the announcements could be, to target the worst affected sectors.
Yeah, the travel sector, interesting. You know, we ended off Thursday and started off Friday with a bit more optimism because Health Minister Ong Ye Kung talked about the potential for some form of travel to resume at the end of the year. You know, places like Hong Kong, certain parts of the EU, even the United States, they're going to call it the air travel corridor. So that brings about optimism. But are we neglecting a sector called the nightlife sector?
Well, of course, there's many different sectors that have been affected by the COVID-19 pandemic. And I think you rightly highlighted that the nightlife sector is one of them. I'm sure I think there's definitely various sectors that have been affected by the pandemic. And I'm sure the statement will look to address, I think, all these, you know, kind of establishments that have continued to suffer from the restrictions. Because, yeah, I think as we look to ramp up the vaccination rates, that means that we are more insulated against the COVID-19 pandemic. And I think that means that more normal activities can resume. So I think since the 31st May speech by Prime Minister Lee, I think we have started to shift towards a more open approach to living with COVID-19 and the pandemic. And I think that really means that more of these sectors can look towards more reopening in the months to come. Of course, it will have to be done in stages.
Yeah. I mean, very encouraging as well. I think this week we had news that the age group of 12 to 39, I mean, at least 80% of them have had their first vaccine shots. And when you consider that, you know, it was only opened up to them, this age group, at the start of June. So that's what, 3-4 weeks. They are very responsive to this. About the retail sector, just very quickly, I don't want to miss anyone out here. Are we speculating that there's potential for some kind of rental relief? Because when we went into phase 2 heightened alert, there were complaints, you know, saying like, you know, what's the point? Why don't you just have a hard circuit breaker so that we can get some rental relief? Now you're on heightened alert, we have to open, we have to pay overhead, we're still suffering.
Yeah, I think I wouldn't want to speculate on measures at any point of time. But of course, I think one of them could be, you know, extending some rental waivers on some of the shops that have been affected. Because I think, like what you mentioned, you know, if it's hard lockdown, I think a lot of these shops simply close. But I think Singapore continues to pursue a strategy where trying very hard to balance economic activity with trying to keep everyone safe. So I think that's why there's been measures to balance this, even though it looked like it was very hard to implement, and there was some confusion during that period of time.
For sure, sure. And again, you know, just to put it out there, we are speculating on the potential conversations that could happen on Monday. We don't know for sure. We still have to wait till Monday, but these certainly are areas of concern that we see on the ground. Jeff, what about funding? I mean, what needs to be done to ensure that there are enough, you know, funds to approach these support measures? Or, I mean, is there going to be an urgent need to raise funds soon via taxes, maybe?
Sure. I think over the past 6 months, as the economy reopened gradually, we have already seen maybe some slight improvements in government revenue. Of course, I think going forward over the horizon, I think there's something on the back of all our minds will be the goods and services tax increase, which I don't think will happen immediately. But of course, I think it's something that we need to be mindful of due to the fact that the population is aging, and of course, there's still a lot of not long-term needs for education and for health. So, yeah, I think with revenues already recovering, I think, of course, we may need to look towards a long-term kind of funding going forward, but not at this moment, I don't think.
Yeah. Okay, so you're still keeping the same stance as you did when we spoke at the start of the year during budget. Still, it's going to happen, just not quite yet. Jeff, you know, we talked earlier about, you know, the vaccine rollouts, how things are moving a lot faster. And at the same time, you've got Minister Lawrence making a comment at a dialogue organised by the Singapore Business Federation that countries that open up too quickly without sufficient protection for seniors will see high COVID-19 infection rates. So Singapore are going for that pragmatic approach, which is quite typical of them. But, you know, with these encouraging signs of vaccine rollouts, let's say we hit target 70% by National Day. What are your thoughts? I mean, do you think Singapore is still going to keep that wait-and-see approach as far as opening up borders is concerned?
Well, I do think that authorities are looking towards reopening as much as possible. I think vaccination do, you know, offer some protection. So, of course, not getting into speculating of what could happen. Mm. But if, you know, things are looking better and more individuals are being vaccinated, because I think vaccination does mean that you turn sort of a moderate disease to a mild one. So I think that does mean that more activities can be resumed. So that, of course, may change the strategy that we've had for a long time, where we were more conservative than other economies. Because looking at, let's say, cross-sectional data, in fact, Singapore does have lower infection rates compared to the US and UK, even though over this period of time, there's been so many good news about them lately. But I think it's also mainly due to the fact that we are a bit more conservative than them. But for them, they came from very high infection rates, but still higher than us, even though the situation there looks relatively well.
Yeah, I suppose you can't help it, right? It's normal for any learned citizen to look at the rate of vaccination, and then there's that lingering hope of, okay, more people vaccinated, we can go back to normal. But at the end of the day, we still take cue from the government. Jeff, here's one that might be up your alley. Final question for you. OECD, the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. So overnight, they announced that some 130 countries and jurisdictions have signed up to the Global Tax Reform, ensuring that multinationals pay their share wherever they operate. We don't have numbers in terms of like how many percent. We know President Joe Biden was pushing for 15%, but this is all part of a broader agreement. I suppose we have to wait for more details. But what are your thoughts on this? A step in the right direction?
I think it does level a little bit of the playing field across different setups, because there have been very different tax rates in different jurisdictions, different geographies over the, you know, decades, centuries.
Yeah.
But I think, of course, what they are looking for is to increase the various government coffers due to all this increased pandemic expenditures. And I think many governments did had a lot of budget deficits over the past year as well, spending on pandemic-related support. So I think that could be slightly supportive of some of these, because I think over the past 1-2 years, what we are concerned about internationally is on high government debt rates, which probably climb even more over this period as well.
All right. We've been speaking with Jeff Ng, Senior Treasury Strategist at HL Bank. Jeff, as always, really appreciate your time. You take care and stay safe, yeah?
Thank you. Take care.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.